Well, good morning, Bartlett Baptist. I'm really glad to be with you this morning. I'm going to say something to you right now, and it may sound a little weird to you. It shouldn't, but sometimes this sounds weird. I don't really care. I'm just going to say it. I love you. I love you. I love this church. I love what Jesus is doing in your church. I love what Jesus is doing through your church. This is a great church, and it's a joy for me to be with you this morning. It's a joy for me to get to worship with you, and really a joy for me to get to open up God's word with you. We're going to hang out this morning together in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1, we're going to look together at verses 3 through 5. Before we do, let's pray together and ask God for his help this morning as we read and hear his word. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that your word is alive. Thank you, God, that your word is active. Thank you, God, that you work through your word in the hearts of your people by the power of your spirit to make us more like Jesus, to change us, to transform us, to make us more like Jesus in the way we think and feel and speak and act. And Father, I ask now that as we spend these next minutes together in your word, that you would do that work in our hearts, that you would change us. Each and every one of us who are here today, that you would change us by your grace, through your spirit, your word, make us more and more like Jesus. Help us to love him more. Help us to just joyfully follow him in our lives. Help us to joyfully tell other people about him, to live on mission right where you've placed us. And Father, as you send us to the very ends of the earth. We are grateful for this time. We pray that you'd use it for your glory, for our joy in Jesus. And it's in his good and mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be together in Philippians 1, 3 through 5. Let's read it together. Turn with me in your Bibles. Philippians 1, verses 3 through 5. Let me read these verses for us right now. Starting in verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Let me read those verses one more time. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Philippians is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church in the ancient Roman city of Philippi. And Paul had planted a church there. That story is recorded for us in Acts 16. It's a crazy story, a wild story of God's grace and the movement of God's spirit. So Paul planted this church. He had friends in this city. And he wrote this letter to them from prison in Rome. And as we read Philippians, part of what's so incredible about this letter is that as Paul wrote it from prison, the letter just overflows with joy, overflows with hope, overflows with love. Paul writes with joy, and he writes with hope, and he writes with love because of the Spirit in him and the work that the Spirit was doing in his life to help him know Jesus, love Jesus, obey Jesus. And Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians to encourage them in their own relationship with Jesus, to challenge them to continue going hard after knowing Jesus and going hard after making Jesus known. He wrote this letter to thank them, to really thank them for their partnership with him in the gospel. These verses that I just read, I'll be honest, are verses that as I've read Philippians in the past, I've often just kind of read through quickly to kind of get to the main part of the letter, kind of read through it like it's an introduction. Okay, I'm going to read the introduction quickly, and then I'm going to kind of get into the important stuff in the letter. I'll tell you, over the past 5 years, as I've lived in Denver and served as a missionary, served as a church planter, these verses have become especially precious to me. And they've become especially precious specifically as I think about our partnership at Calvary Littleton with all of you. Today, what I want to do is we look at these three verses together. Let's kind of take it in two sections. First, I want to spend some time talking about my thankful prayers for our partnership in the past. Thankful prayers for our partnership in the past. And then I want to spend some time talking about joyful prayers for our partnership in the future. Thankful prayers for our partnership in the past, and then joyful prayers for our partnership in the future. Let's start by looking at verse 3 together. Thankful prayers for our partnership in the past. Look at verse 3 with me. Here Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. In other words, Paul is saying that when he remembers, when he thinks about his friends at Philippi, the church there, fills his heart with thanksgiving and gratitude. Every time he thinks of the church at Philippi, his brothers and sisters there, his friends, he thanks God for them. And as Paul thinks about them, and as he gives thanks to God for them, and as he expresses his gratitude to the Lord for the church at Philippi, Paul is thankful because of God's work in them and because of God's work through them. Paul is thankful for the Philippians when he remembers them. And the truth is, when I remember you, I'm thankful. When I pray, I'm grateful for our friendship, for our partnership in the gospel. Let me share some of my favorite memories over the past 5 years in my partnership with all of you here at Bartlett. I remember where I was standing the day that I got the phone call from one of the pastors here at Bartlett telling me that your church was going to partner with me in what God was doing in Denver. I was at a hardware store in Centennial, Colorado called the Big Toolbox. And I was standing outside and I got this phone call from one of the pastors and he told me, we're really excited. We're going to partner with you in Denver in what you're doing to plant churches and make disciples. And I was in the parking lot and I was kind of pacing around. And then I got off the phone and I was like jumping up and down. I was so excited. People probably thought I was such a weirdo. And I am a weirdo, by the way, but man, they were like looking at me. I didn't care. I was so thankful and so grateful that Bartlett Baptist had made the commitment to partner with us in mission and on ministry in Denver. It's one of my favorite memories of your church. I remember when my wife Kelly and I came for the first time to visit 5 years ago. We came for a weekend. We worshiped with you. I remember warm hugs and I remember eating some really good barbecue. I'm thankful when I remember coming for the first time. I remember when the first mission team from Bartlett came to Denver. Pastor Michael and others came and they passed out about 5,000 door hangers in a neighborhood around where our church was going to be meeting, telling our neighbors about our church and inviting them to an event that we were going to be hosting. I remember mission teams coming to serve with us at our soccer camp. Hundreds of kids over the past several years had the opportunity to hear the gospel as we taught them about soccer and about the love that Jesus has for them. When I remember you, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Like Paul, whenever I remember you, I thank my God. I'm thankful for our partnership in the gospel. And we don't just see Paul's thankful heart here. We also see his joyful prayer. Look with me, verses 3 and 4 all together. Verse 3, it says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. So Paul says that as he remembers the Philippians, he's thankful. And as he prays for them, he prays with joy. I think the reason why Paul is so joyful for them is in verse 5. Look at what it says in verse 5. It says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. The reason for Paul's joy as he prays for the Philippians is their partnership with him in the gospel, their partnership with him in mission, their partnership with him in making disciples of Jesus. Paul is thankful and he is joyful because with the Philippians, he has this mutual commitment to Jesus, to loving Jesus, to loving others, and to making Jesus known. Paul is joyful because of this amazing thing that God does when his people partner together. And here's what it is. God multiplies our kingdom impact when we partner together in the gospel. God multiplies our kingdom impact when we partner together in the gospel. Now, sometimes I think we tend to think like, okay, if we partner with other churches, like if our church partners with other churches, then it's actually going to diminish our impact. It's going to minimize our impact. We don't want to partner with other churches. We just want to focus here. Like, why would we want to partner other places? But what we see in God's word and what we see right here in front of us is that God doesn't minimize our impact when we partner together. No, he multiplies it. God multiplies our kingdom impact, really his kingdom impact through us as we partner together in the gospel. Let me share with you just some of the ways that God has multiplied our impact together in Denver over the past 5 years and really beyond Denver as we partner together. So over the past 5 years, as we've partnered together in the gospel, Calvary Littleton and Bartlett Baptist, God has grown our church from what was an initial leadership team of 13 people, two families, my wife and I and our five kids, and another couple and their four kids. God has multiplied that initial leadership team of 13 people to now a congregation of over 150 people. God multiplies our kingdom impact as we partner together. Over the past 5 years, we've been blessed to celebrate 65 baptisms. Most of those baptisms were adults, and most of those baptisms were first-generation Christians, meaning that the person who was baptized did not have another Christian in their family history. God multiplies our kingdom impact as we partner together in the gospel. At Calvary Littleton, we are really excited. We're getting ready to move into our first permanent facility. We've been, over the past year, working to secure and then renovate an old JCPenney's building in an old shopping center, part of that JCPenney's space. And Lord willing, on March 15th, we're going to move into that new space. You can pray for that. Michael asked me before the service, he said, how likely is that? And I said, well, it's possible that we'll be there on March 15th. There's a few things that have to come together, but it is possible. And we'd love for you to pray that we'd be there in just a couple weeks meeting for the first time in our first permanent facility. Over the past 5 years, as we've partnered together, God has led us at Calvary Littleton to plant four new churches. So our church, planted 6 years ago, has now planted four new churches. Our first church plant was Calvary Denver in Denver. Easy to know where they are. Second church plant is a Spanish-speaking church called Calvary Familia. Third church plant is called Calvary Blanca, and it's up in the mountains in Colorado. And then just this past year, we planted our fourth church, Calvary Gillette, in Gillette, Wyoming. So as we've partnered with you, as you've partnered with us, God is multiplying our kingdom impact. Together, those five churches now have celebrated over 100 baptisms. And on any given Sunday in the five churches, our church and the four we've planted, there are over 400 people worshiping Jesus. God multiplies our kingdom impact as we partner together. Now, here's the coolest thing. Our first church plant, Calvary Denver, this past year, merged with another church. And they're together now called Calvary Wellspring. And this year, that church, Calvary Wellspring, is going to plant two new churches. So think about this for a second. 6 years ago, our church was planted. 3 years later, we planted a church. And now that church is getting ready to plant two new churches. That's three generations of churches that have been planted. These two new churches that will be planted, they're like our little grandbaby churches. I get to be like a pastoral grandpa. I'm so excited. I think I want to be called Pop-Pop, by the way, by my grandkids. I don't know why. I just love Pop-Pop, and I hope my wife can be Meemaw. So I know you're not supposed to tell your grandkids what to call you, but I'm thinking that way already. Pop-Pop and Meemaw. So I get to be Pop-Pop pastor now. And what's amazing is God is doing this through our partnership together. That God multiplies kingdom impact as we partner together in the gospel. And like Paul, I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful for all of you. I'm so thankful for this church. I'm so thankful for the way that you have partnered together with us. I pray with gratitude. I pray with thanksgiving. Like Paul, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, making my prayer with joy because of our partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm thankful for our partnership in the past. Second, not only am I thankful for our partnership in the past, man, I'm just praying joyful prayers as I think about our partnership in the future. I'm praying joyful prayers as I think about our partnership in the future. Read with me these verses again. Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So Paul looks back and he remembers the beginning of that partnership that he had with the church at Philippi. He's looking around now and he's seeing that partnership happening in the present. And the language here indicates an ongoing partnership. He's thankful for their partnership in the past. He's thankful for their partnership in the present. And he's joyful as he thinks about their partnership moving forward. He's grateful for their ongoing partnership in the gospel. Now, the word that's translated partnership here in verse 5 literally means more than just fellowship or even friendship. What this word truly communicates is a deeply shared commitment. A deeply shared commitment together. That's where the idea of partnership comes together. This deeply held commitment together to love Jesus, to love one another, and to live on mission together. It's more than just friendship. It is friendship, but it's more than friendship. It's more than just fellowship. It is fellowship, but it's more than fellowship. It's more than community. It is community, but it's more than that. It's community with purpose. It's friendship on mission. Paul prays with joy because in his relationship with the Philippians, they share this passionate commitment to know Jesus and to love Jesus and to see other people come to know and love him as well. Both Paul and the believers in the church at Philippi were passionate in their commitment to Christ. Passionate in their commitment to know him, passionate in their commitment to make him known. Now, the truth is, the reality for us is that in our sin, we are really only committed to ourselves. I mean, that's what sin does in us. Sin bends us back in on ourselves so that instead of living with this real commitment to God and to loving others, we really just live with a very self-centered commitment to ourselves. That's a real essence of what sin is. We're only really committed to ourselves. I live in a city that people have said is among the most non-committal city in the country. When I first moved to Denver, one of my early mentors told me that people in Denver are really only committed to not being committed to anything. And that's a real challenge when you're trying to start a church and call people to commit their lives to Jesus and commit their lives to being a part of the church. But what's incredible about God and his grace and the work of the Spirit is that he changes us and he transforms us and he turns us away from being only committed to ourselves to instead being turned outward and being committed to him and committed to others. And Paul here is grateful for, he's thankful for this all-in commitment that he has with the Philippians to Jesus. And I'm so thankful for that as well. I'm thankful for the work that God has done in my life. I'm so thankful for the work that he's doing in and through your church and the commitment that he has connected us in to live for Jesus and to live on mission to make him known. Kent Hughes wrote this one time, speaking of this kind of partnership in the gospel. Listen to this. He says, hanging out over coffee is good, but it's not the same as gospel partnership. It is good to be with other Christians, but that's not what Paul is celebrating here. If you're looking for true gospel partnership, give yourself with others to the work of the gospel at home and around the world. Spend time sharing the gospel with others in your own neighborhood. Go with others on a short-term mission trip. Join together with others to do relief and mercy work after a disaster. With others, befriend those who are overlooked in your community and introduce them to Jesus. Together, pray for unreached peoples in your small group or Sunday school class. This is how you will experience true gospel partnership. if we've been saved by Jesus, then we've not only been welcomed into his family as brothers and sisters, but we've been welcomed into his mission as partners in the gospel. I want to show you a quick little image that I was thinking about this week, just as a way to sort of picture our partnership together in Jesus and what he's leading us into. So Calvary and Bartlett are connected together in this mission partnership. We're so thankful for that. We're grateful for all that God has done in and through our partnership. We're connected together as partners in Jesus, and Jesus is leading us forward together to tell our neighbors and to tell the nations the truth of who he really is. As partners in the gospel, we are being led forward by Jesus in mission, led forward to tell our neighbors the truth of who he really is and to call them to repent and believe in him. We're led forward in mission as partners to go to the ends of the earth and tell people the good news of Jesus. We are partners together in the gospel, and we share this mutual commitment to Christ and to making disciples. Let me share three ways that I think we can continue to partner together in the gospel in the coming years. Number one, we can partner together in prayer. We can really together say, man, we're gonna pray for God to accomplish his mission in and through us and other believers all around the world. Luke 10:2, Jesus says this. He says, the harvest is plentiful. There's a lot of work available. There's a harvest work that's coming. But he says, the laborers are few. There's not a lot of people in this work. Therefore, what do? Pray. Pray. Pray earnestly. Pray passionately. Pray with all you are to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. Pray and ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the work of the harvest. You know what happens as we pray this prayer so often? God often makes us the answer to our own prayers. I mean, that's what's going on here in Luke's gospel. Jesus is saying to his disciples, his first disciples, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. And then he sends them out to go do the work of the harvest. Man, let's pray together this year and in the coming years for God to accomplish what only he can accomplish in the hearts of those who are far away from him in sin. Now, some of you may remember a specific prayer that I've asked you to pray for me and for my family. My dad, Ron, spent his entire life far away from God in sin. I became a Christian 20 years ago. I'm a first generation Christian. I became a Christian 20 years ago. And one of the first people I started to pray for was my dad. And for 20 years, I've been praying for Jesus to save my dad. And I've asked many of you to join me in praying for my dad, to pray with me for Jesus to save him. Well, in November of this year, my dad got really sick and he ended up in the hospital. And the night before he died, I was able to share the gospel with him again, to hold his hand and to tell him the truth about Jesus and his need for Jesus. And Jesus saved my dad. My dad put his trust in Jesus. And I spent about 6 hours with my dad before he died. And in a remarkable way, I saw the power of God's grace, the power of God to work through the prayers of his people to accomplish what he loves to accomplish, to save people. And now my dad is with Jesus in glory. Thank you for your faithful prayers for my dad. Thank you for your faithful prayers for me and sharing the gospel with my dad. Let's continue to partner together in prayer in the future. Second way we can continue to partner together, let's partner together in evangelism. Let's partner together in telling other people about Jesus. Jesus again speaking, Acts 1:8, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses. Jesus says that the Spirit will give us what we need to do what Jesus is calling us to do. He will give us the power we need to tell other people the truth of who Jesus is. The Spirit will work in the hearts of those we're sharing Jesus with. The Spirit will give us power and we will go and we will be witnesses for Jesus. We will serve as evangelists. And so let's partner together in that. Let's partner together this year. Let's partner together in coming years to tell other people the good news of Jesus, our King, our Savior, our treasure. Let me ask you a question. Who is the person in your life that God has really burdened you with introducing to Jesus? Who's that one person that God is really burdening you to pray for? Who's that person that God has put in your mind and on your heart to sometime, maybe this year, talk to about Jesus, to tell them the truth about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, and then to call them to respond in faith? Who is that one person? Man, let's join together this year in introducing people to Jesus. Let's partner together in evangelism. And finally, three, let's continue to partner together in planting. Let's continue to partner together in planting, planting churches together. Over the past 5 years, the Lord has led our church to start 4 new churches. And that's way more than we thought he was going to lead us to do, but we're just trying to keep in step with the Spirit. We believe God's calling us to continue to plant more churches. We're hopeful that maybe every 3 years or so we could plant a new church in Denver or someplace else. But in order for that to happen, we need partners like you to join with us. The only way that a little church like ours could plant 4 churches in 5 years is because of churches like Bartlett Baptist that partner with us, generously giving financially to help us make disciples and plant churches in Denver and beyond. I want to humbly ask you to continue giving generously to Bartlett, giving generously to this church, to see the ministry of Bartlett and the mission of Bartlett go forward, both in Bartlett and beyond. Continue giving generously so that churches like ours can continue to make disciples and plant more churches as we partner together in the gospel. I'd love to have you come and serve with us again in Denver. If you've already come, come again. If you've never come, come serve with us. In fact, if any of you have some time over the next 3 weeks or so, I could use some help. We're doing a lot of work to get our space ready to go, to move in. We need folks to help us put down flooring. We need folks to help us finish painting, setting up the new space, moving stuff in. We're laughing about it, but I'm serious. If you could come sometime in the next 3-4 weeks, we'd love to have you come and serve with us. Have you come and lay some carpet tiles? Have you come and put down some vinyl flooring? Have you come and work a paint roller? We could really use your help. We'd love to have you come and serve with us. Let's continue to partner together in planting. Now, here's the amazing news of the gospel. Paul talks about being a partner in the gospel, praying with joy because of his partnership in the gospel with the Philippians. I pray with joy because of our partnership together. Here's the amazing news of the gospel. As I've already said, in our sin, we're really only committed to ourselves. We really live for ourselves. We live selfish, self-centered lives. We're not committed to loving Jesus. We're not really committed to loving others. Any commitment to God or commitment to others is really just a self-centered commitment in hopes that something good's gonna happen in our own life as we love God and love others. In our sin, we're not committed to God and we're not committed to others. But the amazing news of the gospel is this. Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect life in our place, a perfect life of complete commitment to the Father. In every way we failed, he succeeded. He lived a perfect life in our place, a life of perfect commitment to worship the Father and live in obedience to the truth of the word. Jesus also lived out that perfect commitment by dying on the cross for us. He took our place. He died the death we should have died for our lack of commitment to God and his word. Jesus died for us. And not only that, but he rose again. He defeated sin and death and Satan forever. And when we come to him and we tell him the truth about our sin, about our lack of commitment to him and to the word, about what flaky, wimpy sinners we are, he saves us. He saves us from what we do deserve, which is separation from God, and he welcomes us into something we don't deserve, and that is the joy of knowing him now, the joy of being a part of his family and his mission now, and the joy of spending eternity with him and with his people. That's what we receive when we trust Jesus in faith. If you've never done that, if you've never been honest with Jesus about your sin, about the ways that you've turned away from him and gone your own way, the way you've said to him, I know better than you do what's best for me, about the ways that you've made your own commitment to yourself more important than your commitment to him. If you've never taken the time to be honest with Jesus about your sin, then do it right now. Tell him the truth about your sin. Confess it to him and humbly ask him to forgive you. And then put your trust in him. Even if it's just a little mustard seed of trust, a little mustard seed of faith, put your faith in him, in his perfect life, his sacrificial death, his victorious resurrection. Put your trust in him and he will save you. He will welcome you into his family and he will welcome you into his mission. Because Jesus not only saves us, but as he saves us, he sends us. He sends us to serve together as partners in the gospel. Here in Denver and to the ends of the earth. Bartlett Baptist, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm so thankful for you. I love you. It's my joy to be with you today, and I can't wait to see what God's going to do in us and through us in the years to come. Pastor Michael's going to come up now. He's going to talk to us a little bit more about what it means to connect our lives to Jesus in faith.
Tate said, and he, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment concerning sin because they do not believe in me. Right now, you might be sensing something strange going on in your heart, in your mind. You're sensing this conviction. You didn't even know that's what it was, but it's God stirring you. This drawing to him. He's pointing out that you don't trust Jesus. You may know about him. You may have some facts about him. You might even be a religious person, but you've never trusted Jesus in the finished work of the cross for eternal life. And you might think that that's mean and harsh. God's pointing out your sin, but it's actually God's grace and his love. It's him saying through his spirit, your sin is separating you from me, and I don't want that. It's God drawing you to him. You don't know what to do with all that? That's okay. That's what this time is about. It's about you finding out what to do with that conviction. In a moment, the band's going to lead us. We're going to stand and sing, and I'm going to invite you to come. One of our pastors is going to be down front. We'll connect you with someone who will sit down with you and open God's word and show you what all that means and how today you can trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and receive God's gift of eternal life. Maybe you're already a follower of Jesus. You're wondering, okay, so what does this mean for me? I've been doing a lot of study lately in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, specifically one word. It's translated several ways in the English, slave, servant, bond servant. But basically, the word means slave. We don't like that concept. When we think of that concept, because of our history, and rightfully so, we think of cruelty, we think of inhumanity, we think of the harshness of slavery as it was played out in the 1700s and 1800s here in our own country. But for the original readers of the New Testament, that's not what they thought when they heard the word. Slavery was different in biblical times. Many slaves held very noble jobs. They were physicians. They were even involved in municipal governments. They held really high positions, some obviously low, but many high. So they didn't think about cruelty and harshness. Here's what they thought. The first thought in their mind is, I have zero freedom. I have zero freedom, and my identity is wrapped up in the one who owns me. Okay, here's what Peter tells us. Followers of Christ, we are slaves of God. We don't have the freedom to tell the Lord, no, I'm not going to go. No, I'm not going to do. We are nobodies apart from Christ. Our identity is in him, and our role as followers of Jesus is simply to salute the Lord and say, yes, Lord. Now, we saw last week, God has commanded us to go, right? To be witnesses. And we don't have the right, because we're slaves, we don't have the right to say no. We say, yes, Lord. Who is that person across the street that God is saying go, and you must say, yes, Lord? Maybe to Denver, maybe to South Asia, maybe to Mexico. Maybe God is calling you into full-time Christian service to be a pastor, or maybe even to be a missionary. You are a slave, and your identity is in Christ, and your responsibility is to say, yes, Lord. Maybe you don't even know what it is, but you just sense he's saying to you, tell me yes now, and I'll show you what it is. That can be a little scary, right? Not really, because when you're in the hands of the Lord, you're in the best hands possible. He will do what's best for his glory and for your good. So, follower of Christ this morning, maybe you need to come and kneel at these steps and just simply say, yes, Lord. Father, we pray this time will bring you glory and honor. Save those who've never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Stir the hearts of your children simply to say, yes, Lord. I'll go to my coworker. I'll go to my neighbor. I'll go to that family member. I'll go to Denver. I'll go to Kansas City. I'll go to South Asia. I'll go to Mexico. I'll go wherever. I don't even need to know where it is. I'll just say yes, and Father, you lead me. Take the commitments today, Father, of those who are your children. Honor them. Empower them to live the commitment they make to you for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we stand and sing, you come.